Dr. John Jackson, my friend, joining me this morning. John, gosh, good to hear your voice again, pal. You been well?
Doing okay, Tom. Glad to be on with you and glad to visit with you.
Hey, I had several questions this morning. You know, and John, you and I have heard a lot about messaging and census and the fact that we're behind the eight ball in getting some of these numbers. But so often the messaging is about $1,400, $1,400 for each resident, $1,400. But that's not the original intent from the Constitution. It's not about money. It's about representation.
Representation is absolutely the center of what we do this and why the Constitution demands it every 10 years, which, by the way, we've been doing successfully, I guess, since 1790, and it is one of the few governmental functions so specified in the Constitution.
Empowers the Congress to carry out the census in such a manner as they shall by law direct. Another one of those sentences you have to disassemble. The actual enumeration of population shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of Congress, which is, of course, what John just referenced, and every 10 years afterwards. And that representation, sure, it's about money, but, you know, when it comes to having your area and your voice, this is a fundamental in mind. We only do it 10 years, but I think the reason and maybe the motivation for that has been lost.
Well, we should keep our eye on representation, absolutely. Secondarily, it does, this came later, but it does determine how federal funds are distributed. But the most important thing is how many members of the U.S. House will each state have, and how many electoral college votes will each state have. And that's the two things to keep an eye on, the House and the Electoral College.
And the representation for Illinois when we have loss of population downstate makes it even more significant. I often think, what if Shimkus and the boss, the congressional line, was not north-south? What if it was east-west and we only had one congressional voice? We've already lost representation. Some people forget that.
Yeah, that's right. When I first came here, which is 50 years ago now, we had 24. We're down to 18 and probably will go down to 17. In the House.
Right. So let's take a look at another issue. And I did not know this. I don't know if I fell asleep in class that day or not. But whenever I saw the story this past week about Nancy Pelosi sending a letter to the Democrats in the House saying we need to focus on these races so they can control the delegations, because she is thinking that we may see some of the most contentious or the most contentious presidential race ever. The control of the delegation is Republicans control 26, Democrats 22. But this leads back to something that happened in 1876 that, as I said, I must have slept through in class. John, you want to tell us about this most contentious presidential race in history?
Well, that's the so-called Tilden-Hayes dispute. Rutherford Hayes became the president. He was the Republican. Tilden was the Democrat. Hayes got the presidency in a deal with the Southern Democrats, who agreed that they would ultimately give up their challenge because Tilden had won the most popular votes, and that challenge would be given up in favor of the Republicans, Hayes, agreeing to remove the federal troops from the South. Right. And the upshot of that, it didn't just end that year and quickly in that Hayes administration. It lasted almost 100 years because that led to Jim Crow legislation in the South. That led to violence against black people in the South and elsewhere, but particularly in the South. And so that lived on as a legacy of the 1876 election.
And once again, I learned something I did not know. To date, that race remains the Electoral College, the smallest electoral vote victory, 185 to 184. And, you know, you hear the president and others talk about Supreme Court getting involved, whether it's courts. You've got the Biden campaign, who's hired somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 lawyers to be on diligence when it comes to voting. We realize, and people are starting to realize, they're positioning themselves for a contentious vote. This Politico poll yesterday that I think 80% of Americans says they don't expect to know who has won the presidential race the night of the election. And I think that's very understandable at this point.
Yeah, the only way we'll know, maybe not for sure, but have a really good idea, is if one or the other is way ahead. And right now, that would have to be Joe Biden because the way the polls look. If it's, say, 5% on the popular vote and above, it's going to be hard to contest because the theory is the Republican ballots, the red ballot states, will come in because more Republicans are voting face-to-face, more Democrats are voting by mail, and so the Democratic ballots may not start coming in as heavily. As the night wears on, it would increase, and then as the days went on. So if it's close, that will be the source of the contentiousness.
All right. Here's the thing. You try to gain, there's so much chatter on this, whether it's mail-in voting or absentee. There's little or no difference when you talk to a county clerk at this point.
Right.
When you look at the Supreme Court, you look at the letter from Nancy Pelosi and all the things that have been said before. It's my thought, if I try to stand back and remember some of the great teachers that I've had in the past, the integrity of the vote in many ways is what holds this country together, the integrity of that. And when it's questioned, we are literally tearing at the foundation in which our entire home is built.
Well, that's exactly right. And I do want to put a plug for those county clerks. I think they all do a great job. And this state actually runs very honest elections, thanks to those county clerks and others who get involved in making sure that integrity is upheld. And as you say, absentee ballots and military ballots have been by mail forever. So what we've done is expand on that concept. But to let me give you an analogy. You have to start with the rules of the game being fixed and agreed upon by both sides. Let's say you play basketball, you got a shot clock, and you don't agree with the shot clock, and so you just keep playing. You can't do it that way. You've got to have rules of the game ahead of time that both sides accept, and then the election outcome will be accepted as legitimate. But that's very much in dispute and up in the air right now, and it really does undercut the most fundamental tenet of democracy, that is that we can have elections and decide who's going to be the president or whatever.
Rules need referees, though, John, and I'm not sure who the refs are, buddy.
Well, yeah, that's true, and that, of course, gets back to the issue of the Supreme Court, as in the case of Florida in 2000, gets back to whether or not it would go to the House and so forth.
All right, quick review on last night's presidential debate. I think you and I could probably easily start this conversation with a certain level of sympathy for the moderator last night.
Well, yeah, Chris Wallace had a very tough night. I don't blame Chris Wallace much for what came of this. I would not dignify it by calling it a debate. You can call it mud wrestling or something entertaining, or in this case, not so entertaining. But it really was not a debate that aired the issues and aired the positions and aired anything about what you would do in the next 4 years if you were elected president.
Do you think last night's performance may lead both candidates to say there won't be a second?
I think it should lead the Presidential Debate Commission to decide today that it's not worth it. They should call the whole thing off. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to be any different, in my estimation, for two more of these. And who's got the patience to sit through two more of that kind of a spectacle?
Well, I'm waiting because the first overnight ratings I have a tendency to not pay too much attention to. But by tomorrow or the day after, we'll have some firmer numbers when it comes to internet viewing and TV ratings. And I'm curious whether we beat the 84 million from the last debate, so I'm kind of curious as to that and see whether that number is higher than 84 million.
Yeah, I think it'll go down. I have no idea that it would go up. It just was painful to sit through.